are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina. I cover your New York Giants, variety of places. Follow me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. And there you can find links to my latest work, such as my article that I put out on Forbes about the state of the Giants salary cap, thoughts about, you know, stuff going on with Odell, who we're going to talk about in just a little bit, you know, the state of the team and so on and so forth. In today's show, it's a Pat's Perspective show. So I have some thoughts about just some things that are all Giants related. One thing that is a former Giant related, that being Odell Beckham Jr. But before I get to that, a couple of housekeeping notes. First off, I want to thank everybody for what was an amazing, and I do mean amazing, month of March. The Locked On Giants podcast set a new record for downloads, over 93,000 downloads. And, you know, while the trade of Odell Beckham Jr., I'm sure, had a lot to do with it, really, you know, if you guys aren't coming and listening and downloading the show and, you know, participating in the Q&As and whatnot, that number just doesn't happen. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you for making the month of March the best on record for Locked On Giants. The other piece of housekeeping note that I have is that we're going to have, for the rest of the week, we're going to take Wednesday off. Thursday is going to be a Twitter Thursday, so make sure you get your questions in. Also, coming up on the podcast, I'm going to have Joe Marino of the Draft Network. He's going to come on. We're going to talk draft. And I'm also going to have Charles Davis, who is an NFL draft analysis for NFL.com. So he's going to be coming up on the program as well. That coming, taking place later on in the week. So do make sure you check out Locked On Giants. We've got a lot of guests coming. We are full-fledged in draft mode. And by the way, if you have specific questions about prospects that you want to ask through Charles Davis or through Joe Marino, make sure you get those to me. You know, send them to me at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com or just tweet them to me at Patricia_Traina with the hashtag AskPTrain. Okay, so as I said, we're going to do a perspective show. So basically just a few thoughts on some of the most recent stuff going on related to the Giants. And this first one is about Odell Beckham Jr., who, you know, I know he's not with the Giants anymore. And some of you are probably saying, Pat, why are you talking about a player who's no longer with the Giants? Odell Beckham Jr. was introduced formally by the Cleveland Browns. And he had his introductory press conference on Monday, April 1st, April Fool's Day, except there was no fooling. It really did take place. And, you know, just a few things regarding Odell. And I promise you guys, I'm not going to keep going back and covering Odell's every move and whatnot. I wish him nothing but the best in Cleveland. But because it was kind of, you know, the bow, if you will, on the Beckham's era, it was interesting to see what he had to say, especially since, you know, we didn't get an opportunity to get any quotes or reactions from him when the trade took place. So just a few thoughts on Beckham and what he had to say. You know, naturally, first off, I thought Beckham looked, you know, like he was out of it. And, you know, having thought about it, you know, initially I thought he was sick, but apparently he was good friends with the late Nipsey, I hope I get this right, Nipsey Hussle, I think it was, the rap star who, you know, unfortunately was killed. I believe it was over the weekend. So I think Odell was friendly with him. And it's very possible that he was, you know, still in shock, still kind of mourning. You know, it's been an emotional time for Odell, you know, to lose a friend like that. And then on top of it, now you've got to come to a new city and kind of feel your way around. But, you know, it's just going to be interesting because Odell, you know, spoke of, you know, his enthusiasm. He spoke about, he was very candid with the shock of being traded by the Giants, and just something that, you know, I often wondered about Odell is that he's always been a player who's kind of been in control of his own destiny. And for him to get traded the way he was, that kind of took the control out of his hands and put it in the hands of someone else. So I think one of the reasons why Odell sounded in that press conference kind of disjointed, kind of, you know, using a lot of, I don't know how to describe it, I don't know. He, you know, he just didn't sound certain when he was answering the questions. And I think a lot of that just had to do with him still processing what happened and how he felt about it. Now, you know, Odell has an opportunity to play with Baker Mayfield and above all with his good friend Jarvis Landry in Cleveland. So, you know, I think as the shock ultimately wears off, and, you know, let's face it, it was a big shock for everybody, not just for Odell, also for, you know, the Giant fan base, probably for Cleveland as well. But I think as that shock wears off, Odell's going to gradually, you know, fit in, do what he does best. And, you know, again, I wish him all the best out in Cleveland. He was always, for me, always a fun guy to cover. And it's just going to be interesting to see what kind of career he has out there. And, you know, if he makes the most out of his opportunity. So, you know, Beckham moved on. You know, if you're still pinching yourself, did it really happen? Yes, folks, it was kind of weird to see that 13 jersey with his name in Cleveland Brown colors. But, you know, it is what it is. And the Giants, who are going to open up their own off-season conditioning program later this month on April 15th. The reason for the delay is teams with new head coaches were allowed to open on April 1st. Teams that have returning head coaches cannot open until April 15th. So the Giants locker room is going to have a very, very different look. And it's just going to be interesting to see how head coach Pat Shurmur pulls it all together and what kind of culture emerges from that now that you've subtracted, you know, a major player from that environment. Okay, folks, you're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina. And when we come back after the break, I have a few thoughts on the upcoming draft, so stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants, Segment 2. You're with Patricia Traina, and it is a Pat's Perspective show. And I mentioned at the top of the program that we are in full draft mode. The New York Giants, Dave Gettleman, will meet the press on April 18th. He will, you know, that is the date designated for his annual draft preview press conference. And it'll be interesting to see if he gives any kind of hints the way he did last year when it became blatantly obvious to all those in attendance that he was leaning towards taking Saquon Barkley with the number 2 overall pick. Now, this year, of course, the Giants have a little different situation. They have the number 6 pick overall and the number 17th pick overall. And I get a lot of questions from you guys, you know, what are the Giants going to do? Are they going to take a quarterback with one of those picks? And I can sit here and tell you that I really don't think the Giants are going to take a quarterback at 6. I believe that it is going to be a defensive player. And I'm going to outline for you a scenario in just a moment, but I also want to mention the 17th pick and what I think is going to happen there. I think with the 17th pick, the Giants will probably grab an offensive tackle. Now, you know, I would be very surprised, and, you know, the beauty of the draft is you just never know how it's going to fall. Even NFL teams don't know how it's going to fall. But I think initially there will probably be a run on defensive players. And if you want a real, true, you know, elite level defensive player, you want to grab that guy as quickly as you can. And offensive tackle, I suspect they're going to be able to wait a little bit, especially since we're really talking a right tackle. You know, people ask me, well, what about Mike Remmers? What's the status with him? My understanding is Mike Remmers cannot yet pass a physical. He did have minor surgery on his back after the season ended. But, you know, even if the Giants do sign Mike Remmers, I would say, look, don't cross offensive tackle off off the Giants' to-do list, because you just can't, you can't let a veteran status, knowing, if he's going to be okay, if he's not going to be okay, you can't let that dictate what you're going to do in the draft, because you just don't know. So it's possible that the Giants will sign Mike Remmers. That I don't know. To my knowledge, like I said, he can't pass the physical, which is probably why he's unsigned, and which is probably why he won't sign any place until after the draft. But I do think the Giants will add an offensive tackle, and I think it's going to be probably at that 17th slot. Now, I want to go back to pick number 6, and I mentioned a scenario. And, it's interesting. The New York Jets have said, their general manager, Thomas McGahan, has said that they are open for business. They are willing to trade down. And I just wonder, disclaimer, I'm not very good at doing mock drafts. I don't like doing them. I try to stay away from them. But yes, I will be doing one at some point before the draft. But let me just put this out here. If Kyler Murray goes to the Cardinals at first overall, which, the thinking is that's where the Cardinals are leaning, I would not be shocked if Nick Bosa goes to the 49ers, who have the second overall pick in the draft. So now that brings up the Jets. And with the Jets' willingness to trade down, you kind of wonder if there might be a team that needs a quarterback, that maybe has their eye on Dwayne Haskins, for example, that tries to get ahead of the Giants. Especially if the Giants continue to play this game of chicken with the rest of the league, where they're masking their intentions. So you wonder if maybe a team will trade up to grab Haskins at number 3. And if that happens, now you're talking about several good, and I'm talking elite, defensive prospects that get pushed down the board, such as Quinnen Williams, the defensive lineman, linebacker Devin White, outside linebacker Josh Allen, Rashawn Gary, Ed Oliver. So if you're the Giants, I know some people say, well, why not trade down? If you're the Giants and you have your choice of one of those guys, my goodness, if you're going to trade down, you probably don't want to go further than, 5 slots down. But otherwise, if you're looking to rebuild that defense, you better grab one of those guys at 6 and not think twice about it. I mean, if Quinnen Williams somehow falls to the Giants at 6, my gosh, if I'm the Giants, I run to the podium with the card to hand the card into the commissioner. I don't think twice about it. That would be a huge get for them. So it's just going to be interesting to see, because like I said, there's going to be a team, I'm sure, that's going to want Dwayne Haskins in the first round. And I just wonder if maybe they'll try and trade up to get ahead of the Giants to do that. And especially if the Giants still give up that air that, maybe they're looking at Haskins or, any of the quarterbacks. So this would be one opportunity where if the Giants get leapfrogged for a player, I don't think I would be too upset if that were to happen. Okay, so I mentioned offensive tackle at 17. I think that's a possibility you can't rule out at this point. Again, regardless of what happens with Mike Remmers, I think you got to go offensive tackle. Just get yourself a good, even if that kid becomes a swing tackle, just set yourself up for down the line, I think. Now, the interesting thing for me with the Giants is in round 3. The Giants have the 37th pick, which is in round 2, and then they next pick again in round 3 at number 95 overall, which is quite a bit of a wait for Dave Gettleman. Even though that 95th pick is still a top 100 pick, I would not be shocked if the Giants maybe package up one of their day 3 picks, either an extra 6th or perhaps one of their 7th rounders, and try to move up a few slots in the 3rd round. Because I just don't see Dave Gettleman sitting on his hands and just waiting for that 95th overall pick, you know, to come up after picking 37th. That's a long, long wait, folks. So, you know, with the Giants, what can they do in that range? You know, maybe it's at round two, they go and they get themselves the quarterback. You know, maybe at round three, a receiver. And you're probably saying, well, what about Josh Rosen? Would they possibly trade for Josh Rosen? I don't see the Giants giving up a first or a second round pick for Josh Rosen. I think if they are going to do it, and that's a big if, it'll be a third round pick. And again, if they do trade off that third round pick, they're looking basically at the same dilemma now where, you know, they make a pick at 37. And now if they trade that third round pick to Arizona, they don't get the pick again until the next day. And I just don't think the Giants are going to make that move. So, you know, even though it makes sense to me to bring in Rosen, because Rosen, you know, I think has a leg up on the rookie quarterbacks, my gut feeling is telling me that the Giants are probably going to stand pat. They might grab, you know, a Drew Lock if he's there. They might grab, you know, a Will Greer if he's there. I don't think it's going to be Murray. I don't think it's going to be Haskins. And I definitely don't think we're going to see a quarterback in the first round. The Giants have already committed to Eli, as you know. But again, that should not have any bearing about what they do, because at some point they do need to get that quarterback. They need to, you know, ideally have that kid learn behind Eli. And, you know, if it's not this year, next year for sure. And there'll be I already have some preliminary thoughts on that, who I would like to see. And when the time comes, I'll start banging my drum for who I think it's going to be. All right, folks, you're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traynor. We're going to take our final break, come back with some more perspectives. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants, segment 3. You are with Patricia Traynor, and this is a Pat's Perspective show. So just keeping along the lines of draft and the future. You know, I mentioned the quarterbacks in the last segment. And, you know, an interesting topic that has kind of come up for debate is when the Giants, or if the Giants, for that matter, will extend quarterback Eli Manning, who, you know, they have pretty much committed to for 2019. And my guess is right now the Giants are going to sit tight with Eli. They're not going to do anything with him now. They probably will not do anything until after the draft, once they see, you know, they have their quarterback on, you know, on board, and if they can, you know, how they feel with him, about him. There's really no rush for the Giants to do anything with Eli's contract, if they are, that is, until we get into training camp. I think what is going to happen if the Giants do draft a quarterback, regardless of the round, they're going to just see, you know, can this guy come on? Do they feel good about him? You know, that's what the spring's going to be used for. That's what the summer training camp is going to be used for. And, you know, if they feel that they have somebody who can pick up the offense pretty quickly, who gets it, you know, who's, you know, on the right path towards, you know, being the heir apparent to Eli Manning, then I could see them maybe deferring that decision, you know, depending on how Eli ends up playing. And in my latest article that I wrote for Forbes, I actually put a scenario out there on how the Giants could lower Eli's cap by about $3 million while also setting themselves up to where they could have him next year. But if they end up not needing him, they can get rid of him at a, you know, fairly low dead money hit. But here's the thing, you know, Giants ownership at the league meetings a couple weeks ago basically said, look, we're going to take it 1 year at a time. And that, you know, that makes sense. I mean, to do it now is just, there's no need to. See what you come out of the draft with. See how that kid responds. Because remember, when Kyle Lauletta was taken last year in the draft, you know, everybody began to wonder, okay, would he or even Davis Webb end up as the heir apparent? And, you know, we know what happened with Davis Webb. Kyle Lauletta, meanwhile, has, you know, I don't has struggled to grasp what it takes to be a pro. So who knows if he's even going to be on the roster when September rolls around. So just kind of see how it plays out. And if the Giants feel that, you know, they've got to have Eli another year and Eli is open to it, then I think they will bring him back. But I wouldn't be surprised also if they bring him back and there's a mechanism in his extension to where he gets a per game roster bonus, where if he plays, he will get, you know, I think the way I put it in Forbes is I think I did a $2 million roster bonus, which comes out to, I think, about $125,000 per game. So if he plays and starts, you give him that $125,000 per game. If he doesn't, then that's a cap credit. And that can justify and help offset the potential signing bonus that I have in the mechanism. So do check that article out. You know, it's better to see it than for me to explain it. You can find that if you Google my name, Patricia Traina, and the word Forbes, and that'll bring up my page, and you'll see it's the first article at the top about the cap hit, the state of the Giants cap on page. All right, Giant fans, so on that note, I'm going to call it a show. Just want to remind you to check in and tune in to Locked On Giants the rest of this week. Again, Charles Davis of NFL.com is going to be on the program. Going to have Joe Marino is going to be on the show from the Draft Network. So a lot coming up. I'm also working to line up guests for, you know, from now until we get to the draft. And I have a special week-long program coming up where we do a mock draft. It's kind of a mock draft series. I'm putting a little twist on it, so I hope you'll enjoy it. And I've already asked good friend Chris Biziano of the Giant Insider if he would come on and kind of, you know, be the yin to my yang, if you will, or the foe, you know, the Joker to my Batman, or whatever you want to put it, in terms of when we debate who the Giants might take in each round. So a lot of good stuff coming up. Again, I want to thank you for an amazing March. Here's to an amazing April, and have an amazing day. I'll talk to you soon.